And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
What's going on? The stories of earthquakes, hurricanes, historic rainfalls, and massive flooding around the world are what? An indication of an unusual dramatic change taking place? Or are we just hearing and seeing more now because of our 24/7 news coverage from around the world? No one's quite sure. So today we tell it as we see it, as we go in depth with the right whale for all the wrong reasons, when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It's often hard to see change happen, unless it's catastrophic, like the sudden devastation being felt around the world this past month from an unbelievable series of floods that are displacing millions around the world, the earthquakes that seem to have started some kind of chain reaction, a major 7.9 quake just rocked Peru. But most change, organic change, is gradual, and we often cannot even really sense it until we find that reminder, like a photograph of our family from 12 years ago, or meeting someone's six-year-old that you hadn't seen for 2 years. I've tried to remember being really small, like as a child, and the most vivid image I can conjure up is standing up with a neighborhood friend reaching deep into a grapevine that covered the fence between our yards to pick some little sour grapes. We were both shorter than the fence itself. Right now on the earth, we are going through a period of change, dramatic changes, as thousands of animal species simply disappear. You don't notice their disappearance suddenly, if you notice it at all. It's just that each season, there are fewer. Over the years, our memories accommodate to the new reality. If I think about it, I can really sense the dramatic disappearance of butterflies. When I was younger, butterflies had a relative density in the air. Big, impressive butterflies like the monarchs or tiger swallowtails. Now I rarely see any. Today we're going to talk with a scientist who is in the initial phase of a 4-year study of the northern right whales, which, if we're lucky, may actually be as plentiful as scientists are estimating, which is somewhere perhaps between 50 and 100 on the entire Earth. A couple of hundred years ago, the right whale was the whale of choice for the whaler, hence its name, and grand whaling fleets set out on quests to hunt the whale, primarily for its oil, which was used to light the lamps around the world. Back then, there were no real estimates of the number of whales in the world. There were so many, no one was even keeping track. But slowly, each year, there were fewer. And now, there are, if we are lucky, 50 to 100 right whales left on the Earth. It occurred to me the other day, as I read again about the projection that there will be no harvestable fish in the oceans by 2040, and the chimpanzees are still being killed as bushmeat, and as we scrape the bottom of the seas for anything edible, that we are about to eat ourselves into despair as the wonders of the wild creatures disappear forever. Can we turn this around? My guess is, I'm sorry to say, probably not. Some may say it's pessimistic, but I listen to the presidential debates and I hear not a single question, comment, or concern being raised about the real state of our world, just as in the last election when I remember hearing one question about the environment during the entire series of debates. And here we are 4 years later, with unprecedented flooding and storms driving millions of people from their homes, with the devastation of Katrina forgotten, with reports continuing from around the world that gorillas, cheetahs, bees, orangutans, rhinos, whales, and thousands of other species are in massive decline, while our leaders are given 30, 60, and 90 seconds to address the pressing issues of our day in the Democratic and Republican Party debates. And yet, not a word about the real state of the environment and our Earth. In today's second segment, we're heading up to Seattle to the National Marine Mammal Laboratory as they assess the possible effects of new oil and gas leases being let out on the Bering Sea, where it just so happens right whales have been spotted with calves in recent years. But first, we continue our summer series of Weekly Earth Science. Welcome to the Weekly Earth Summit, the most important 15 minutes on Earth. I'm your host, Sidney Wildsmith, and we continue receiving updates from our regular panel of experts on nature and the environment. We begin today's summit with an honest assessment of the efforts to help the chimpanzee and other similarly challenged species from Dr. Mark Beckhoff, who comments on the current efforts of Jane Goodall. Dr. Beckhoff?
Progress in that field goes slow. I mean, people are still extremely concerned about the precarious situation of the great apes. The bushmeat trade is still going, and so, you know, animals are being killed and eaten, and as a result, there's a lot of orphans. And I think, you know, it's the same old, but I think we're making a difference in terms of the availability of suitable habitat. The retention of land, suitable habitat for species, is really paramount. You know, it's hard enough to keep the land when the animals are there. And then if you have, you know, conservation programs where you say, well, we're taking care of these animals in captivity with the hope of re-releasing them or releasing them later on, please put that land aside. There's no developer in the world who's going to put the land aside. So, you know, it's almost like it has to be an immediate situation where you can go, look, we need the land because we're putting chimpanzees out, or we need the land because we're putting wolves out, or some endangered antelope. But if you try to do the rehab projects and save the land when the animals aren't there, it's very difficult. So I'd have to say that we're making progress, but it's certainly slow. There are changes in the welfare standards in a lot of food industries that, once again, a lot of people think it's, you know, not enough, but while it's not enough, at least things are moving, you know, in some way.
Thanks, Dr. Beckhoff. We certainly are all concerned about the future of the natural world, but we humans face some amazing new challenges as we try to accommodate to this new world order. Dr. Charles Kennel always sees through the issues of societal restructuring and hopes for light at the end of the tunnel. Dr. Kennel.
I was very impressed with the International Council on System Engineering, and there they had 900 people come to a meeting in San Diego, and they think holistically about the systems that they build. It has many, many components and working parts, and so they are already now beginning to think about sustainable engineering. We heard a discussion of all the challenges of modernizing the London Underground, a huge energy producer, a crucial transporter, 4 million people, I think, a day. It's a huge number, a tremendous responsibility, and making a contribution already, clearly, through public transport, making a contribution to minimizing London's greenhouse burden. But it's a 150-year-old organization, and how do you get new ideas in, and how does one infuse a whole set of new ideas and practices into a system that can't miss a beat? It has to meet its requirements every day, and it has people who have done so successfully for a long time, and now they're being asked to change. And how do you infuse new ideas into ongoing organizations that are absolutely critical to the functioning of society? Well, the system engineers do think about things like that, how to deal with the customer, the human response to the system changes. And so they have a discipline that is clearly going to participate in the transformation of the way we do things in many of our human systems. And so, yes, you begin to see them thinking about it.
Thank you, Dr. Kennel. And that brings us to this week's final Weekly Earth Summit commentary from Emma Sleeth, student, writer, and an emerging environmental wit, as she puts her spin on her version of Dr. Kennel's dilemma. Emma?
Yesterday, my brother updated the hardware on his computer so that he could do video editing for my parents. Yet there was one problem. His hands were too big, so he enlisted my help. Apparently, my hands were just the right size to fit into the small nooks and crannies of his computer case. And yet there was another problem. I'm completely clueless when it comes to technology. So we did it together. He would tell me what needed to be connected to what, and I would do the actual connecting. It took us a little while, but we finally got a system going where he would point to what he needed done with a pencil, and then I would execute his directions. I would go, "The little twisty thingy goes on the little prongy thingy?" And he would smile and say, "Yes, the 4-pin Molex connector from the PSU connects to the HDD." It's the same thing with the environment. Some of us know the big picture, or the science of climate change, whereas others of us can follow their directions and make the actual changes. Even though I could not tell you how a fluorescent bulb works, I know how to replace incandescent bulbs with more energy-efficient ones. It's a symbiotic relationship. Some of us have the knowledge, and some of us have the right-sized hands to bring the suggestions to fruition. So if I plant the greeny thingy in my yard, it will make the air stuff better? Yes, the scientists smile. If you take care of the planet, it will be a better place.
That's Emma Sleeth, as always. We'll hear a lot more from Emma Sleeth in the months ahead, here on the Weekly Earth Summit. Thanks, Emma. And thank you for joining us again for the Weekly Earth Summit, the most important 15 minutes on Earth. Right whale is spelled righthwhale. That's surprising to many who think naturally it would be righthwhale. You may be surprised at the right answer to this minor vexation when we go in depth with the right whales when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us, hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.